I gave my watch to someone tonight, and all I have is a calendar to preach from tonight. So I hope you know my wife did let me have her watch. Okay, so I won't have to use my calendar tonight. Matthew chapter 18, preaching tonight about the subject is building bridges. Building bridges. Matthew 18, and we'll be starting with verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily, truly, I say unto you, except you be converted, or turned around, or doing about face, and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name shall receive me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Look over in chapter 19, Matthew 19, verses 13 and 14. "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." I want you to look in chapter 19, the verses that I just read. Matthew 19, verses 13 and 14. Will you stand with me? Let's read verses 13 and 14. Matthew 19, verses 13 and 14 together. Are you ready? "Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Be seated, please. We're preaching tonight about building bridges. I hope you have your bulletin. You will have the outline for the sermon tonight. As we think about building bridges, I think about a poem that I read and heard many times many years ago, a great evangelist that I had the opportunity of hearing and hearing him preach so very, very many times. And in fact, this is the title of his biography, Building Bridges or the Bridge Builder. I want to read this to you. An old man traveling a long highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm deep and wide. And the old man crossed in the twilight dim, for the sullen stream held no fear for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man cried a fellow pilgrim near, "You're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the evening day, and you'll never again will you pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide?" And the builder raised his old gray head. "Good friend, on the path I've come," he said, "there follows after me a youth whose feet will pass this way. This stream which has been naught as naught to me, to this fair-haired boy, may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him." When I think about building bridges, and I think about this church, Crooked Creek, about the bridges that have been built and that shall be built, I would like to ask myself and ask you, are we building bridges or are we building barriers to divide and separate? Oh, how we need to do that. We have Sunday school every Sunday morning. Quite a little dispute about how many we had this morning on the sign downstairs, 113. But I really understand that we actually had 115 here this morning. Amen? To God be the glory. We give Him the glory and praise. So I thank God for our Sunday school. We have marvelous teachers and great classes and the greatest students in the world here at Crooked Creek. Our new goal is 115, okay? We want to do it fair and square, okay? And I hope you'll be here at 10 o'clock sharp next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning. We have children's church here at Crooked Creek. My, what a blessing that children's church has been through the years, many, many years. Since I was here, we started the children's church many years ago. Wednesday night, we have a bunch of pirates here, I think, on Wednesday night. I would call them the singing pirates, and they're going to sing for us pretty soon in the Sunday night service, and we're looking forward to that. Have that program Wednesday night, prayer and Bible study here, Vacation Bible School, June 5 through 10. We have an opportunity to build bridges. That boys and girls will hear the gospel. And so God has given us that opportunity. We think about Bible school. We need at least 5 more workers for Bible school. And I hope we will not lack that number tonight. And so we hear the voices in Vacation Bible School, boys and girls, saying the pledges to our flag, the American flag, to the Christian flag, saying the pledge to the Bible. You remember that? Amen. A wonderful time that we have in the sound of laughter, kids laughing and having a wonderful time. I've seen this building packed completely full with Vacation Bible School, and we're looking forward to having that by the grace of God. And so I want to ask you, I want to challenge you, are you a bridge builder? Are you a person who's building bridges, not just for yourself, but are you building bridges for those who are coming on, those who will pass this way in the years to come? Are you building bridges? You know, the vast majority of boys and girls do not attend church. In our community, in our area, in our state, in our nation, the vast majority of boys and girls do not attend church. They do not attend Sunday school. They do not attend Vacation Bible School. And what a shame. What a shame. Just in the sight and just in the sound of this church, there are those who are not in the house of God. When we look at this passage here in Matthew, and Matthew presented Christ as king, Mark, he had his shoulders, his sleeves turned up and ready to work. In Luke, he is the Son of Man, truly God and truly man. In John, he is the Son of God. But here in Matthew, Jesus is king. And he is a child's best friend. He's a young person, the teenager's best friend. Jesus is a young adult's best friend. He's the best friend of those who are in their middle years. And for sure, he's the best friend of those who are getting along in years. I want us to think about, number one, as you have your outline, the concern of some. There were those who brought their children to Jesus. That's a marvelous and wonderful thing, a very wonderful thing to do. Of course, we want to provide for our children. Of course, we want to provide food for our children. Of course, we want a good roof over their head. Of course, we want to educate them and all of those things. But the greatest thing we could do for our children and for our grandchildren is to bring them to Christ, bring them to Jesus. And here in our text, there were parents who were bringing their children to Jesus that he might take them up in their arms, into his arms, and that he should put his hands upon them and to pray for them. The greatest thing, again, you can do for your child and for your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren is to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace, by His power. Thank God for parents who are concerned about the spiritual welfare of their children. Thank God for parents who are concerned about where their sons and daughters are going to spend eternity. For we shall all spend eternity either in heaven or, because we know Christ as Savior, are eternally separated from Him because we do not know Him as our Savior. Thank God for those who are concerned about their children, and not only for their children, but the children of other people. People ask me, and one of the first questions people ask when you meet someone new is, a lot of questions they ask, but one of them is, how many children do you have? They ever ask you that? Can you nod? You're with me, right? And so they ask me, how many children do you have? And I would say, hundreds. Martha and I do not have any of our own, but we've helped raise hundreds of children, bringing them to church, bringing them to Jesus. And what an opportunity it is, not only to bring your children to Jesus and your grandchildren to Jesus and your great-grandchildren to Jesus, but bring the children of other people to the Lord. I've had so many people stop me through the years and say, Brother Bill, is that you? I said, well, it used to be me, but it is really me. And they said, well, I'm so-and-so, do you remember them? I remember we were over at the Red House. That's where I spent a lot of my time. I think you can tell I'd lost 10 pounds when I had surgery, but I've gained back 20, so I'm doing okay. But I saw this nice-looking guy in his middle years. Brother Bill, do you know me? I said, I'm sorry, I really don't. So we talked and renewed acquaintances, and when I went to pay my bill there, they do want you to pay your bill, and they said, oh, somebody has already paid your bill. What about that? Here's a guy that, you make a friend out of a child. They are your friends for life. Friends for life. You can make friends with people when your hair gets gray, but you make friends with a child, and they'll remember you as long as you live. You have a friend for a lifetime. How many of us have, you say, Brother Bill, I have too many friends. I have so many friends that I just don't need any more friends. All of us constantly need friends. And what a blessed, wonderful time it is to bring children to Christ. And thank God for those who bring their children to the Lord. And thank God for those who are concerned about other people's children. You say, well, I just don't believe in bringing children to church. The parents ought to bring them. And I say, amen. The parents ought to bring them. But the truth is, most of them do not. And so who is going to bring them to the house of God? Martha and I have so many wonderful, wonderful stories about kids of riding to church with us. Not only kids, but older people who ridden to church with us through the years. And what a privilege it is to build bridges. So I want to ask you, are you a selfish person? And you're always taking selfies of yourself. Smile, Oh, isn't it something? We live in the most selfish, self-centered, egotistical time that has ever been. And people are putting all this stuff on the internet. What I had for lunch. Oh, my goodness alive. And, you can't believe this crazy stuff that people put on the internet about themselves. And all in the world you're doing is opening yourself up to predators and crazy people. And there are a lot of crazy people out there. So be careful what you put out there in the airwaves. It's an amazing thing. And so there was a concern of some for their children. And thank God for the concern of people who are in this church. Through the years, I've seen them bring boys and girls and young people to the house of God. The choice of Jesus. And so Jesus, secondly, he called the little children to him and he set them in the midst of him. And Jesus was a bridge builder. He was the one who focused upon ministering to children. He wanted to bless children. He wanted to spend time with children. He saw the wonder of children. And lo, our children are a heritage of the Lord. Blessed is a man who has his quiver full of them. Psalms 127. I have a different interpretation of that verse. It talks about having your quiver full. I've heard another translation that says, blessed is a man who has his flivver full. You'll think about that, your car full of kids. How wonderful it is. Mom had her family had 10 children in her family, her mom and dad, 7 children in my dad's family, 4 children in our family. And Jesus saw the wonder of children who are trusting and who are teachable. He saw the worth of a child. Jesus said, except you be converted, become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that 83% of the people who come to know Christ as Savior do so by the age of 18? Only 17% of people who are saved after 18 years of age. So we'll do a survey. How many were saved by the time you were 18 years of age? Would you raise your hand? Would you look around? It's okay to look back and look around. You can do that. Most of the hands are up. I was saved when I was almost 9 years old, and most of the people are saved while they're young. You say, Brother Bill, why? Because the older you get, the harder your heart gets. The hardest people I've ever seen are old people who don't know the Lord. Their hearts are so hard. I've told you about that man, Mr. Keeler, who was an old man with a walking cane, who told me that Jesus was a failure. He was lost. He was an old man. His heart was hard. As far as I know, he was never saved. He had a sister who lived near the church, the first church that I pastored. I went to see her one day, and she was about 87 years old. Her last name is Sellers, and I said, Ms. Sellers, I've come here to talk to you about Jesus. I want to talk to you about how that Jesus died on the cross for you, how he rose from the grave. He wants to come into your heart and save you. Ms. Sellers looked at me and said, which one of those good folks at your church sent you here to talk to me? She wasn't interested at all about being saved. I've seen a few old people saved. I've seen a few of them, but I haven't seen a lot. And I don't know any preachers who have a lot of stories about old people being saved. I have some, but not a lot of them. And oh, how I wish that I had more. When you think about the worth of a child, I heard a story about a Scottish preacher who resigned from his church. And the people in the church asked him, said, why are you resigning? He said, I haven't had, last year we didn't have but one person who got saved last year at our church. Just one person got saved last year. In the last year, only one converted. And he said, just one person, little Wee Willie Moffat. Wee Willie Moffat. Well, Wee Willie Moffat, his real name was Robert Moffat, who was one of the greatest missionaries to Africa. One of the greatest men who translated the Word of God, the Moffat translation. A man who won people in Africa to Christ. That Scottish preacher thought himself to be a failure. But actually, he had the greatest year he had ever had. He had the greatest year he would probably ever have. Wee Willie Moffat. And we don't know where those Wee Willie Moffats are, who they are. I stand and sit here and wonder when I sit here on Sunday morning on the front pew And I sit by these pretty little girls who sit here, and I look at them, and I think about the boys. I think about what they're going to be. You say, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking about what they're going to be. I'm thinking about what their life's going to be like. I think about how God wants to use them and how that they will use them. And that, then I think about those who did not let God lead them and use them, and how that they did not follow the Lord. And oh, what great opportunity and what great potentiality we see and what possibilities we have in these young boys and girls and teenagers and young people. And so we see the concern of some. They wanted Jesus to touch their children and to pray for them. And the choice of Jesus, He chose to build bridges and He chose to bless the children. Thirdly, the callousness of the disciples. They rebuked Jesus. They were insensitive. They were heartless. They rebuked the Lord for wasting His time touching these children and blessing them and praying for them. He was not wasting His time. He was doing some of the greatest work that He could do with those children, thinking about and dreaming about what they would be and how they could be used of God. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, those who offend, are entrap, are entice children, or trip up children, God says, Christ says, it's a terrible thing. And so they rebuked, they chided, they forbid the Lord from touching and praying for the children. But the world wants our children. The world of alcohol wants our children. The world of illegal drugs wants our children. The world of prescription drugs that are sold by drug dealers or otherwise, they want our children. I remember when I first started seeing the drug scene. I went through all the military. I never saw anybody, heard of anyone who smoked pot, nor anyone who's taking illegal drugs. Not one in the military. But when I came here in South Jackson, and in the late 60s, in the early 70s, I had my first encounter with drugs right here in this community. And I want to tell you, they were here 50 years ago, and they are here with a vengeance now. Well, I don't know anything about it. That's because you're not a druggie. You're not a druggie. You don't know where the drugs are because you don't take drugs. If you drank moonshine whiskey, you would know where all the bootleggers are. I remember my wife and I were out visiting the first church where I was, and we were out, and I went out to a guy that I knew was a bootlegger, and we pulled up in the yard in this little store building. And I saw, and Martha said, she said, what are all those sacks of sugar in that building there? The building was full of these big bags of sugar. And I said, Dank, his first name is, we call him Dank. Dank was a bootlegger. And I said, he's a bootlegger. That's to make moonshine. Yeah, it's loonshine. It's loony to drink that stuff. Moonshine. And so, it's everywhere. The people who drink know where to buy it, where to get it. And I saw the drug scene. We had a murder in this community. Teenage murder in this community from drugs. 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 When I did the funeral, he said, Brother, why do you preach like you do? Because I've seen this stuff. I've seen the heartbreak and the terrible stuff that I see now and then. And when I preached that funeral, the guy who killed him was there at the funeral. And I've seen prescription drugs and people who go from doctor to doctor and get narcotics. And there were people. I got a call one day from the sheriff to come out here below Arcade on a dirt road. And out there was a body laying in the ditch. A man killed his wife. The funeral was here in this church. And the guy who killed her was here. It was her husband. They were on prescription narcotics, taking pain stuff, and crazy, going crazy. I'm not afraid of some things, but I'm afraid of somebody on drugs. You don't know what they're going to do. Absolutely. Absolutely. Boys and girls, don't ever take a drink. Don't ever take a drink. You know how to keep from being an alcoholic? Don't ever take a drink. You see, that's crazy. That's pretty smart. It's pretty smart. And don't ever start on drugs. Don't ever take a puff off of a wacky-backy weed, marijuana. Don't do that. And so I've seen that not in Los L.A., or not in Atlanta, but right here in this community. And I want to tell you, it's everywhere. It is everywhere. And it's destroying lives. Violent video games. And stay away from violence. Don't get hardened to violence. I was a soldier. I've been taught how to kill and taught how to blow things up and all of that kind of thing. But don't expose yourself to violence and become desensitized to violence. Video games, you shoot somebody and they get up. But you shoot somebody in real time and they don't get up. They're dead. They don't come back to life. They're dead. I think about pornography and gambling and homosexuality and premarital sex and sexual experimentation. James Dobson said, children are participating in every form of sexual experimentation at a younger and younger age. And so, the disciples thought Jesus had more important things to do than spend time with children. But he didn't. He wanted to spend time with children. I want to tell you, this thing of experimentation with sin is a terrible thing. Let me tell you, parents, I see on television these shows where the dad's going to have a talk with his son or daughter. They're big and too big. I want to tell you, you don't want to have that talk with your kids at that age. You better start talking early. You better start talking to your children real young. Real young. Don't wait till they get up. Don't let them learn about sex from their peers. They will if you don't tell them. I'm telling you that terrible thing. We talk about boys trying to seduce girls. I want to tell you something. Girls try to seduce boys also. It's happening everywhere. It's happening younger and younger and younger and younger. And I want to tell you a little secret. That was happening 60 years ago. It was happening back then. And people just didn't know about it. Maybe they never told their parents what that girl was trying to do and all those things. It's something that you need to be careful about. So the callousness of the disciples, fourthly, very quickly, the censure of Jesus. Jesus, when he saw it, he was much displeased. Really, it was truly the translation, really, he was furious. He was furious because children suffer the most from the misdeeds of their parents. Let me say that again. Children suffer most from the misdeeds of their parents. Molestation is something that happens in churches. And usually it's by somebody that they know. Somebody that they know. I can name you church after church, big churches, middle-sized churches that have had all kinds of problems. I say to parents, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful who your children are with. They're with. You just don't really, some of us don't have any idea of what's happening. Jesus was displeased. Fifthly, very quickly, the conduct of Jesus. Jesus said, suffer, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Children are top priority as far as Jesus is concerned, and they should be for us. We should be in the business of protecting children. Protecting children. Wherever I am a pastor, I do everything that I can to protect children, to take every precaution and to do everything that can be done to protect children. I'm sorry to say that the time has come when we have to do background checks in church. I would never believe that. I would never believe that. But I can tell you, Jack Hiles' church in Hammond, Indiana, had all kinds of suits and all those sorts of things. When Jack Hiles died on the operating table from heart surgery, he died. His son-in-law took over the church. And his son-in-law, you know where his son-in-law is? He was pastor of that church for a great number of years, and he was still there when he was arrested for taking a young minor girl across state lines for indecent purposes. His son-in-law is in prison right now. I'm telling you, as a church, we must do everything necessary to protect our children from predators, and predators are everywhere. We have to be, must be, on our toes for that. Jesus said, children have the top priority. Let's look very quickly at the clarification of Jesus. For such is the kingdom of heaven. I think about the blessing of salvation. I think about the blessing of encouragement. I think about the blessing of love. I think about building bridges. Now I want to close with a story about building bridges. And I'll have to read this because it's quite a long story. But I will just tell the story. I think I will. And there were two brothers who had farmed together for a very long time. They borrowed equipment from each other. They borrowed tractors and bush hogs and all those sorts of things that brothers do. I thank God for my brother. And I thank God that we have a wonderful relationship through the years. I came to the point as his older brother to realize that it's my job not to run his life. Amen? We can't run other people's life. And I'm very pleased with my brother and his blessing. But they're two brothers. And so they had a wonderful relationship, the farms together. But something happened. They began to have discord. And their farms joined each other. And they began to quarrel and began to fuss and all of that. And eventually there was a complete break. And the younger brother took a bulldozer and came down and between the property and cut a ditch so that a branch could come down between them, and there's water between them. And it was a terrible thing. Family trouble is bad. Trouble with your siblings is really bad. I don't have time to go into that. Someday I will. But one day, a man came to the older brother's farm. He was a carpenter. And he said, I want to do some work. And so the older brother said, yes, I've got a lot of lumber out there, and I want to build a fence between me and my brother. Look out there what he did. He took a bulldozer and he bulldozed out there, and there's a creek out there now running between our property. Look what he did. So I want you to take that lumber that I have out there. I want you to build a fence, a high fence, so big fence, high fence, 8 feet tall so that I cannot see over that fence. And the man said, yes, I'll do my very best. The man said, I'm going to be away for a few days, and I'll come back. When I come back, I'll pay you. And so in a few days, he came back, and to his surprise, there was not a fence that was built, but there's a bridge that was built between the two properties over that stream of water. And when the older brother got there, he looked there on that bridge, and who was there on that bridge but his brother was out there on that bridge. And his brother called him by name and said, how happy I am that you built that bridge. I'm so glad. And they shook hands and they embraced each other, and they stood out there on the bridge together. The carpenter said, I've got to go, and put his tools together. And the guy said, oh no, said, I've got much more work to do. And the carpenter said, no, I must go, because there's so many more bridges that need to be built. And there's so many bridges that need to be built. Oh, how we need in this community, the fields are white unto harvest. And the people are all around us who need the Lord, who are not saved, their boys and girls, who will never be saved, who will grow up in this community and never be in Sunday school and never be in children's church and will never be in vacation Bible school unless we go and find them, and unless we go and bring them in, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring the wandering ones to Jesus. And Jesus, as he embraced children, and as he prayed for them, and as he gave him his touch, we need to bring children into God's house here. And I know we are, but I want to tell you, this community is full of boys and girls and full of adults who need the Lord. Let's bring them in. Show by our heads. Musicians, will you come forward? I don't know what it is that God has spoken to you about tonight. Maybe you're unsaved, or you're not sure about your salvation. In just a moment, we're going to sing the invitation hymn. Invite you to come forward and take me by the hand, and we'll open the Word of God and show you how that you can be saved and know Christ as your Savior. Or maybe you've... like Leon, and we baptized him tonight. You've been saved, but you've never followed Christ in believer's baptism. And tonight we're going to invite you, if you've been saved, to come and let us talk with you. We've got water in the baptismal pool. We can't do it tonight, but we can later on. And you want to come and become obedient to the Lord. Or maybe your membership is elsewhere and God is speaking to you about your membership here. You moved everything up around here but your membership. We invite you to come. Or maybe you're concerned. Maybe you want to build bridges. Maybe you want to build bridges for boys and girls and have them come to you in the years that lie ahead and call you by name and say, oh, I thank you that you brought me to church. I thank you that you worked in children's church. I thank you that you taught that Sunday school class. Oh, I thank you. You just don't know what it meant for me to have you care and be concerned about me, be concerned that I might be saved, and I met Jesus as Savior. Maybe you want to come and kneel and say, by the grace of God, I want to be a bridge builder. I want to build bridges and bring people to Jesus. If she plays, will you come? Shall we stand, please? Will you come?